program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
Gil Fuller's French Horns. Thank you so much, Gil Fuller and Dizzy Gillespie. That's right. And this is Don Manning live behind the mic here at KBOO. We're in the limbo between Christmas and New Year's, but we're going to have a lot of fun with some things I'm just positive you haven't heard. We want to mention the fact that Rosie the Jazz Dog is here. She's a big booster of Med Flory. You know, I think Med Flory is certainly one of the greatest musicians living in the world today, jazz musicians. Med Flory, of course, is a dear friend of mine. We played together, and he is the creator. See, he didn't put his name first like he might have, and then you'd know, see. But Med Flory, he didn't put his name out there like that. The name of his groups, like Jazz Wave. You're going to be hearing more about Jazz Wave. That's a regular band. Well, regular band is swinging you out of this world. Anyway, it has also Super Sax, a creation of Med Flory and Buddy Clark, the late Buddy Clark. Super Sax and the L.A. Voices. Med Flory. And he's still out there anxious to lay the sounds on you. And he's a wonderful cat. He just, now, here's his new record. It's not in the store yet, but as soon as it's available, I'll let you know. It's, well, let's just go ahead and you'll dig it here.
You feel your body swaying to and fro. And though you know the quaint old romantic custom that this dance is only for lovers, you wish you two could be the boss and no, no. You feel the weight of loneliness upon you. Your eyes begin to search the noisy throng. Suddenly there's the one you've been watching, watching you two and conversation, just a smile. A smile that says tonight I don't care what happens. We're here together, that's all I need to know. So if we never meet again, let's make this night a night to remember. This night.
Yes, and it's the age of romance and chivalry. It's coming back. Guess what? Guess what? Who would have thunk it? That's right. And I'd like to dedicate that music to one of the most amazing of today's feminine inhabitants. And one that I have very, very high hopes for. And she just really, really knocks me out. And that's Paris Hilton. That's right. Paris Hilton. She's no dummy, I'm telling you. Watch for it. That's right. You know, I have... I talked to this morning with Ira Gittler, and in New York, he is one of the producers of a record session that they put out. Are you familiar with this new Prestige series? There's a piggyback extra CD on the back of it, you know, and it's moderately priced. I think it's like $10, and it's these great Prestige size by... See, Bob Weinstock and his dad had it, but it wasn't called Prestige. It was called New Jazz. And I knew those guys and used to go in their shop. It was right off of Broadway, the heart of Manhattan. And they took a chance with Miles Davis and Monk and others, and when the other companies were not interested. So Prestige has put out this series called Profiles. There's about 10 of them. I got the Miles Davis, and it has Marvelous playing on it, and assortment of different tracks, what I'm trying to say. And then the little piggyback freebie on the back of it has got some of the most awesome. Well, we'll get to some of that and play some of that. But look for it. It's called the Profile Series, and they have Red Garland, Miles Davis, Coleman Hawkins, whole bunch of folks. That's right. So we're going to be getting to that. But first, get everything going so well, let's have a visit with Dave Frischberg. We're so happy that he is an inhabitant of our Portland. And he's often on the show here, and he's always a big kick. So what we want to do here... Dave Frischberg, the one and only. We sure dig you, Dave.
You're a lucky guy when you consider the highest bidder can't buy the gleam in your eye. You're a lucky guy. Thank your lucky star. You've got a honey, she wants no money, she'll take you just as you are. Thank your lucky star. Hey fella, say fella, open up your eyes. It's fated, you rated, don't you realize? Thank you.
Perdida. The guy, hey, that's okay. The guy that is on drums there, oh, he's deceased, I'm sorry to say. However, Nick Cirilli made enough money off of Herb Alpert, wasn't it? So it was more than enough money for a lifetime. Much more. Nick Cirilli was one of the most fantastic drummers. I like to go into a big story about that. Is this fact that Nick Cirilli, who's on that record with Dave Frischberg and Al Cohn and Bob Brookmeyer, is, I don't recognize the bass player, Jim Hughart. And Dave, of course, Frischberg on piano and vocals. Well, Nick Cirilli was in there when Buddy Rich was big band, was playing in this hot club in Hollywood, and he was in there, and he'd been drinking, and he was up near the front digging Buddy. Anytime you went in to see Buddy Rich, there was always a whole bunch of drummers there, you know. So what happened was that Buddy always spots everybody. I could tell anytime I came in the building, he spotted me, no matter how far the drums were away. He watched. I don't know if you know that, but he was very sharp about who went in and out with all the rest that he had to do. Yeah, well, he saw Nick down there, and he thought he'd have some fun with Nick. So he said, why don't you come up and sit in, Nick? You know, here's this big band with all these arrangements, and it's a big thing, a big responsibility. And he says, come on up. And he's going to hand him the sticks, and Nick says, no, no. And he says, oh, come on. You can see that Nick's been drinking, you know. So he said, oh, come on. So Nick says, well, all right. So he brings his cup up, and he comes up behind the drums, and he takes the music out, which, wait a minute, Buddy didn't have drum music. Anyway, he gets behind the drums, and Buddy kicks off this frantic thing, and Nick just, he just plays the you-know-what out of it. I mean, he just goes up one side and down the other drum-wise, and Buddy just, some of the fellas said, uh-oh, you know, he made a mistake that time. He picked on the wrong guy, you know. I should have picked on somebody like me. I would have, that's an awesome responsibility to get up there after Buddy and play. And Nick did a terrific job. And God bless you, Nick. I know they miss you down at the professional drum shop in L.A., on Vine Street, you know, the professional drum shop, Chuck Molinari and John Poole and all the different ones. And all the drummers would come in there, and it'd be just everybody insulting each other, you know. If you ever saw a bunch of drummers, they just have all kinds of fun. I mean, they're really more fun, I think, than any of the instruments in the band, to tell you the truth. I know Anita O'Day always told everybody, gee, get the drummer, don't bother with those other guys. Anyway, Anita O'Day takes no prisoners. You know that. We want to mention the fact that Eddie Palmieri is coming. I consider him immortal. His brother, deceased brother Charlie. You dig him? Let's hear the late Charlie Palmieri. You got it, Charlie. We love you. Palmieri. Charlie Palmieri, the deceased brother, unfortunately, late brother of Eddie Palmieri, coming here in February. That's right. Well, you know, I was mentioning the Prestige Profile series that has these little extra piggyback records. Here's one that has Red Garland, one of my all-time favorites. Boy, that is a story and a half, Red Garland. I'm going to get into that. Red died broke, thinking that jazz was finished. And you go in and look at the bin. Look at the Red Garland bin today. Today in 05. Soon to be 06. Happy New Year. And I mean that. But I'm trying to say that on this extra piggyback record is a thing that Red Garland did called Hey Now. In fact, all this material on the Prestige label that I said was done by Bob Weinstock, I tried to call Bob today to have him on the phone for you, for your enjoyment on the radio. But he is in the hospital in Florida, and I think he's going to be okay, but I can't reach him right now. But he is the creator of Prestige Records, which was originally called New Jazz, and then they had another name, and then it was Prestige. And he became wealthy, but I think Bob Weinstock deserved more than whatever he got. He deserved more because he was willing to record Miles as a leader, and Monk, and many other of the moderns. At that time, I was in New York and used to go up there and talk with those Weinstock gentleman, father and son, and they took a chance, you know. They took a chance. But New York was bop heaven. See, they just loved it in New York. I mean, not the average guy in the street didn't even know, just like always, the average guy in the street, you're not going to get him, I don't think. But we'll try. We'll try. Let's hear Hey Now. This is going to run through your mind the rest of the day. It will. Blues. Garland. Red Garland. We love you, Red. That's for sure. You know, I got a problem. I didn't have my car for the last over 3 weeks because my car developed some real problems. But I got a genius car man named Kevin. And he's dynamite. He will figure it out. No matter how tough it is, he will figure it out. He is a genius with motors. Kevin Cook is his name. Well, he said somebody left a CD in one of the cars. He said, it's a jazz CD. Why don't you take it? So I'm going to play some of it on the radio, thanks to Kevin's auto repair. And it's John Coltrane. And that's very fitting because they're having here in Portland at the festivities in February, they're having Coltrane programs, bringing in the great writer Ashley Kahn. Ashley Kahn has 3 books out. The subject is John Coltrane. And there'll be all kinds of Coltraneana. Oh, I coined a word, Coltraneana. This is Coltrane doing the ballads, and he's with McCoy Tyner, whom I adore, and Elvin Jones drums, and Jimmy Garrison bass. And we're going to hear Dedicated to Nancy over at Sean Deccan Coffee Shop across from the Selwood Post Office. Nancy with the Smiling Face, which is a tune that I dearly love. Thank you. Coltrane. John Coltrane. That's right. With the ballads. Well, today we're going to have a reading at the top of the hour. If I keep reading, I'm going to finish this book. I think it's the longest book ever read on the radio. It's taken quite a bit over a year. I think it's a year and a half. You know, 10, 15 minutes a crack on a blockbuster novel. Well, I thought it was an interesting experiment, and if I keep pecking away, we're going to finish in about 50 pages. Not today, but soon. Okay, we need to tell you, that'll be at the top of the hour. Steve Royal is doing good in New Orleans. Yes, he is. Everything is quite upsetting down there, but they're doing the best they can pull that thing together. He drums on Bourbon Street, if you can imagine. And what the heck? I like to play for strippers. I played for many of them. Not all at once, but one at a time. Didn't you know I played at Duffy's Gaieties? Duffy's Gaieties in Hollywood? Don't know about that? Lenny Bruce? Herb Geller? Don't know, huh? Okay, what we're going to do here is go back to Coltrane a minute. Thank you. John Coltrane, say it over and over again. What is it that you want said over and over again? What is it that everybody wants? I love you. Is that so hard to say? Maybe we ought to say it more often. You know, I was transcribing some Georgie Ald material where he and I were talking, and it's going to be put in a book. And it says, he says to me, Don, because we didn't know each other, but I was a great admirer of his music. And he said, let you and I be pals till the day we die. Let's you and I be pals. I think that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. And I love you, Georgie, forever. And I love your music. I'm a little distracted here by that because I love Georgie very much. And I know Toby Kimmy out there, he loved Georgie a lot. And he's going to appear in the writing on Georgie. He was on the scene. He has some lines. Ben Wolfe's going to be at the old church. Says the 28th. I thought it was the 29th. That was a big help. It says the 28th in the Jazz Society paper. So Ben Wolfe, they're going to have Rob Sheps and Ron Steen, Steve Christofferson, and the String Four-tet, kind of a chamber music jazz thing, perhaps. And on New Year's Eve at the Benson Hotel Grill, Bill Beach Duo, Donny Osborne Trio at the Brasserie on New Year's Eve with Victoria Corrigan. Donny Osborne, Buddy Rich expert. Well, he's a lot more than that. There's one of the most amazing drummers out there, and there's a lot of them, a lot of them. Who did I see that impressed me so much? Did you ever see Jason Marsalis, the brother, one of the Marsalis brothers, play the drums? It's different. It's different. But it's really good. It sure is different. Patrick Lamb's at the Chinook Winds Casino. Patrick Lamb Band on New Year's Eve. Johnny Martin Septet's at the Columbia River Yacht Club. He's going to swing those cats at the yacht club right out of there. At Johnny Martin. Wow. And at DV's Broadway Diner in Gresham, Craig Bidondo on piano, and he'll have some other cats there. Maybe Santo will show up with his horn. Here's the Hilton Hotel's got Shirley Nanette Quartet, New Year's Eve, and Jimmy Mack's got Linda Hornbuckle Band. That's really something, isn't it? And you know that Nancy King is singing Fridays at Abu Karim downtown. And to get back to my music here, I was telling Ron Steen when he was on the show about Moondog, that was a street corner musician in New York. But the examples that I have had didn't pan out, but I got some better ones here. Now you're going to hear Moondog. Moondog was a white guy. He said he was part Indian. He looked like a white guy with a beard. He looked a lot like the pictures of Jesus. And he was on the street sitting in front of a store on the sidewalk with his blankets and all these drums of different sizes that he had made. And he was a rhythm expert. I don't say it's jazz, but, you know, guys like Charlie Parker stopped and got out their horn and jammed with him. And my wife at that time several times took him hot soup in the wintertime. I said, gee, how did he like it? And she said, oh, he said, what's in it? Well, that figures, huh? Right? Good question, Moondog. Let's hear Moondog. I think you'll say you never heard anything quite like it. He's on the street corner here in New York.
Anything else?
I'll try another one.
All right, here you go, Tony.
All right.
Sure.
be walking down the street in New York, and that's what you'd hear. Moondog on the sidewalk doing that stuff. Hey, another thing, Linda Michelet, live at the Heisman Hotel on New Year's Eve from 9 to 1 in the evening, is going to have a special guest, our favorite, one of our all-time favorites, John Stoll on jazz guitar. And wishing everybody a really good 06. Now, in reading about the book here, we're down south and it's hot and we're getting near the end of World War II and there's bugs everywhere in Alabama and they bite you in bed and they're on the floor when you go into a restaurant. It's just driving them crazy. And this is the time that the atom bomb has first been dropped on human beings. It's a milestone in human history. And the guys in the band see this little notice in a local paper. It says, new type bomb dropped by U.S. That's the first they hear of it. And, of course, gradually they find out what a tremendous historical event that is that we've had to live with ever since that time. So they're still on these one-nighters. Down south, it's hot, it's the summertime. It's a whole band, and they're getting tired. They're very tired. And they're in Alabama, and the young drummer, Ron, he says, look at the bites all over me. Ron itched all over. He says, let's get the hell out of here. And the guy says, exactly. Vic, the band manager, has ordered us to pack in a half hour. A special bus is waiting to take us to the airport. So in the next chapter, we see airborne. They soon look down on Mississippi. Glad we missed that dismal territory, said Dick Davis. He's the loudmouth of the bunch. I don't much care for what I've seen down south so far, admitted young Junior. He's the young boy that's the band boy, property man. So Junior says, what's Mississippi like? And Kurt Jordan, husband of the secretary, Wendy, he says, well, if they ever decide to give America an enema, that's where to insert the hose. On to New Orleans, whooped Elmer. Do we put on masks for the Mardi Gras? Huh, Vic, do we, huh? A little late in the season for the Mardi Gras, the manager said, but the masks are a hell of an idea. Grannies, Elmer rubbed his chin. You mean I got a beard coming? If the shoe fits, put it on. I want everybody spick and span. This is an important big deal affair coming up. Then tonight after the show, pack up. We're going to go up north at last. Ken glanced away from his lyrics. He's studying the lyrics to My Shining Hour. This will be my shining hour. I wish I'd asked King about the program. I didn't know he was flying on ahead. Well, he had to. Vic unfastened his safety belt and started smoking. Big conference about this special show in New Orleans. It's a coast-to-coast radio broadcast. Plus, shortwave overseas to the troops. Trembling, air passenger Mert Estrella, the lead Aldo man and hypochondriac, wiped his sweating brow, barely trusting himself to speak. It was horrible here in the air. It was terrible far below. And to make foul things fouler, Rex, the lead trumpeter, who's making time with Melody, the beautiful 17-year-old singer. Rex, angered because Mert claimed disinterest in any of his future schemes, helping Junior load, had kicked viciously at Mert's precious luggage, scuffing it. The victim, furious but afraid of Rex, now managing only to sing song Dixie. He's going to sing song Dixie. You know the song Dixie? Way down south in the land of cotton, everything stinks and everything's rotten. Look away, look away. Hours later, they banked over New Orleans and glimpsed the Mississippi River curling and glittering through the sprawling city beneath them. Landing, they gained only picturesque flashes of the famous city. Taxis whisking them to the hotel to wait in the overflowing lobby, hearing the miserably familiar phrases, But, Vic gulped indignantly, we're the King Bennett Orchestra. We have confirmed reservations. Sorry, but those reservations expired at noon. It's only 1 o'clock, but those rooms have all been taken, sir. But I'm sure the other hotels are full up. We're working the big show here tonight, can't you? Barry sighed, same old routine. Listen to this, exclaimed Cappy over a paper as newspaper, as Vic failed to dazzle the clerk with green cash. He failed to dazzle the clerk with the green cash. Look, another A-bomb dropped on the city of Nagasaki, Japan. Says it was so powerful that it made the first one obsolete. It says allies will be spared 1 million casualties. Japanese official surrender expected any time now. Wow. They gobbled up the latest news. Weariness forgotten. Vic eventually slipping room keys to Wendy and Melody, and then directing, okay, gang, you'll have to bring your stuff and follow me. We've got some trouble here with the rooms. Trailing a bellboy into the depths of the old New Orleans hotel to a spacious room containing billiard tables. Is this a gag? Sounded Dick. I don't shoot pool. You want some place to lay down, don't you? Asked Vic. They're finding blankets for you. We rehearsed the show in 2 hours, so everybody give your gray suit to the bellboy here. Pronto, no matter how bad they are, we can't wear the ruined suits. Those goddamn discolored monstrosities are all turning brown. Ye gods and little fishes, can the horse play? He scolded Rocky and Barry, who had begun a serious game of pool. Blankets were draped over the green felt tables, but after Vic departed, only a few stretched out, laughing at the absurdity of it all as they tossed down drinks. After 5 weeks of one-nighters, said Elmer, sometimes I don't know whether I'm opening my suitcase or closing it. Close it, please, said Dick Davis. What a stench. Rex Knight mounted a hard table, nursing a J&B scotch. Not exactly conducive to sleep, is it? No, Doyle agreed, but these pockets make a dandy place for our valuables. Hey, Elmer, Cappy objected horizontally. I don't mind you brandishing that pool cue, but would you mind? Please quit trying to shoot that ball off of my rear end. By the time they rehearsed the music, most were, as Doyle liquidly put it, beautifully, brilliantly cockeyed. Impressive radio people flitted about, the announcer reminding King they'll break into us if important war news breaks during the show. Ken nervously examined his lyrics. If the Japs surrender, he said, I hope the network cuts into my vocal. No, mine, Melody said, studying the script, her young mind forgetting a line the very second she finished reading it. We'll do a kind of show as we broadcast, King explained, for the studio audience. Solid, Dick oiled his slide. What do I do? Remember the solo that Manny, who's no longer with the band, Manny used to take on C-Jam Blues? Davis, I want you to play it, and then you come down front, and you do something visual. Dick sneaked a furtive drink from Tommy, who's the trombone player next to him. And he proceeded into a bit of business that Cappy later said was a zootish dance, best described as slithering stealthily around a non-existent chair. Cappy, hold the fort a minute. King headed for the sanctuary of his dressing quarters and his bottle of Jim Beam. Shortly, they were into rehearsal, but the band leader has had a generous helping of Jim Beam whiskey. Shortly, they were into rehearsal, and King, the leader, read the script after the theme song. Hello, coast to coast America, as well as our fighting men overseas. Tonight, we're broadcasting from the Grand Hall of International House in New Orleans, where our audience is made up of New Orleans men and women, many of them responsible for the efficient operation of the city's port. We salute them for the fine jobs they've done to speed up shipping in these long days of war. Righto, Maestro Bennett, the announcer cut in ultra alertly. And now, Miss Melody Morgan, she can sing for me once every day and twice on Sunday. His tone dropped. Christ, let's take this abortion from the top. Subsequently, Ron broke his snare drum head, bringing King up onto the platform where he glared at the useless drum. What, no spare, kid? Well, they're almost impossible to find. You know, during... Kurt, sensing a storm, nudged King. I was with a square band once and that happened. You know what? The leader actually canceled the whole broadcast. King chuckled, restraining a desire to jam the snare drum over the dumb youngster's too big head. Distraught, Ron took more than a liberal shot of Kurt's whiskey. Afterwards, when they were rushing to eat and dress for the show, King brushed up against the drummer in the tense melee. What the hell's wrong with you, he says to the young drummer. You're fighting me, kid. Ron tried to explain about the sad letter from home and about his poor sick dog, Scraps. Good God, we're involved in a thing of this magnitude, and you're worrying about a damn dog? He stepped over to Vic, obviously relating the conversation. King acts like I broke the drumhead on purpose, moaned Ron. Hell, it drags me, too. Let's grab something to eat, said Cappy. This city is full of great restaurants. Sure, I'm plumb starved, admitted Elmer. You can always tell where the food is good, Dick advised jauntily, in the places that the cooks wear those tall... floppy white hats. Look there, cried Doyle. The picnic palace, he spelled out. Oh, boy, all you can eat for 89 cents. I'm so hungry I'll have two orders. Ken grinned indulgently, drinking in the bright New Orleans neon. I'm too nervous to eat, confessed Ron the drummer. Maybe we should find a dim bar where they won't hassle us about our age. Exotic, spicy aromas floated out onto the tree-lined sidewalk. Adieu, Monsieur, Elmer shouted as they raucously charged into a den-like atmosphere. That there's French. Monsieur, I'll have the soup de jour. Garson, Garson. That means waiter, he confided. Taking a table, they scrutinized a fancy menu. I hope we can go to the French Quarter tonight. Elmer gargled over his ice water. Them there whores up on those fancy balconies. Believe me, Cappy said, if this show comes off like I think it will, we'll need a police escort directly out to the airport. Ken mumbled lyrics uneasily to himself as if incantations to magically fend off invisible devils. They kept the busy blonde waitress waiting, slowly ordering until Dick's turn came. Coffee, he blabbed in mock southern accent. Coffee, coffee. What, she frowned. Coffee, can you all understand? Miss, urged Ron, for goodness sake, please give him some cow feed. They all laughed giddily while she stalked off, and when the food did arrive, Dick got no coffee. Out of water, he failed at obtaining a refill. I'm burning up in this place. He went over to the bar, behind which loomed a 300-pound bartender that had the stunned, wild bull look of a has-been wrestler. Dick rapped on the long mahogany bar as the man mixed drinks, absently snapping fingers to the tune on which he was going to be featured in the show. But the bartender confronted his pet peeve. Can't you see I'm busy? I'll be with you after I pour these folks a drink. They want to live it up too, do you mind? I only wanted a simple glass of water. That dizzy waitress broad's fluffing me off, that screwy bitch. That happens to be my wife. Ha ha, you're joking. Now, how's about that water? You get the hell out. What? Dick called over the table. This silly tool says... Twitching with rage, the beefy bartender seized a wet bar towel, drew back, and expertly snapped Dick full in the face. Silverware clanked to the checkered tablecloth as his friends heard the sharp, moist crack, rushing to the aid of a hunched-over Dick Davis who covered his mouth with his hands, groaning. The furious bartender stomped from the bar, tearing up their bill and throwing the pieces into the air. Go on, beat it, all of you! They half pulled and half carried Dick out of the loathsome establishment, the dazed victim revealing the painful scarlet splotch across his lips and cheek, while that dirty bastard cursed Cappy. "Gee, what'd you do?" asked a shocked Doyle. "Only, he mumbled over puffed lips, glash water. "Oh, Dick," sighed Ken, "you finally met your Waterloo." "Maybe," said Doyle, "we better just go back onto our pool tables and lie down." "You ought to fix a coal pack on those chops," Elmer urged at closer sight of Dick's ugly welt. But when Dick settled on stand, it appeared that the red spot had taken up permanent residence across his face. "My God," exclaimed King, "can you still blow the trombone?" "Mm-mm. Oh, little brother, now you've done it." Young Melody was horrified by the ghastly blotch. Showboat finally got his. Always shooting off his mouth. Now he can only dance. "You mean Dick can't blow?" Tommy clapped his forehead. "He's the lead trombonist." He says, "Then I'm all alone. I'm the entire trombone section?" King, after facing his brass of two trumpets up top and one trombone in the middle, hurried off stage to his dressing room. I think he's got another date with Jim Beam. Well, we'll come to that next week, and it's very exciting. I hope you'll tune in for that. And right now, we have a special treat for you. Did you ever hear the record that Thelonious Monk made with Art Blakey? With Art Blakey's messengers, you know, Johnny Griffin, tenor, Bill Hardman, trumpet, with Monk on piano?
Thank you.
Yeah, Monk and Art Blakey, Evidence and Blue Monk. Let's think a moment about Claire Fisher's Pensativa with Wayne Shorter, Art Blakey, Cedar Walton, and Freddie Hubbard. Curtis Fuller, trombone, wonderful trombone man from Brooklyn. He's a pal of Max Roach's, the Brooklyn Cats. Beautiful number dedicated to the very beautiful Brooke down here at KBOO. Came down here during the holidays, and we're down here to a short crew, and she came down and it was very beautiful. And Rosie, please. Now this is the piece de resistance, the piece de. This is the piece you've been waiting for. It's going to be awesome because I started to play it last week and I didn't have a chance to finish. Did you know that Walter Davis, the great black piano man, unfortunately the late Walter Davis, he wrote a thing called Brown Sugar. Well, they're going to play this and it's going to feature on the right track Billy Joe Jones and on the left track Elvin Jones. Two of the very greatest drummers of all time. They're going to be featured along with Blue Mitchell trumpet, Hank Mobley tenor sax, Paul Chambers bass, and Wynton Kelly on piano. Wynton Kelly, you know, I met him through Dizzy. He is so much better than I thought he was. And I thought he was terrific, but he's even better. Anyway, we're going to hear some terrific drumming here. If you just hold tight.
We'll be right back.
Roditi? I did not mention Roditi today in any way whatsoever, Nick.
That show.
What?
Well, that show.
What? Speak into the mic, please. Oh, you're a radio man, aren't you? What did you say?
I said, Don, I had to severely reprimand you for saying that Claudio Roditi was a Cuban.
I did not mention Roditi today.
Not today. Not today.
Oh, another day.
Last week.
He's a Brazilian.
Correct.
Well, you know, I love his playing.
He's fantastic.
Tell me something else so I can learn. Tell me what you know about Wallace Roney.
I think he's from Philly, you know, instead of New Orleans.
See,
you know.
That's where I made the mistake.
I think he's from Philly. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's from Philly.
He's a northerner, then. I thought he was a southerner.
He's married to Jerry Allen, the great pianist.
He is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Man, Nick, you better stay tuned. This guy's got a much better program than I have. He's going to lay it on you. And not only that, he's like the Marsalis brothers. He's got his son here. It's a father and son jazz show. Boy, I hope they're listening in New York. This is Dino. Dino Flow. Not Dynamite, Dino Flow. That was a car in the old days.
Buick.
Dino Flow. Buick, yeah. Rosie and I are out of here. Happy New Year. Flat 5, take over, please. Oh. You're listening to your radio station, KBOO 90.7, the FM dial. You're going to hear Nick Geffro and his son, John. You want to stay tuned for that for sure. Lots of fun.